And tomorrow, after bruising primary battles, breathless stump speeches, accusations and counter-accusations, we will vote in a new commander-in-chief, and, well, it's all worth it, right?
This is a price you pay to lead. You don't think that Abraham Lincoln was a whore before he was a president? He had to tell his little stories and smile his backcountry grin. And he did it just so that he would one day have the opportunity to stand in front of the nation and appeal to the better angels of our nature.
John Travolta playing a fictional, though somewhat recognizable, Governor Jack Stanton running for president in primary colors. Our fearless leaders on film battle more than madly slung mud. They face aliens, natural disasters, nuclear attacks, and, of course, Oliver Stone behind the camera. As we prepare to welcome a new leader of the executive branch, we look back at the heroes and anti-heroes who led the country on the silver screen and welcome back our movie buff-in-chief, Murray Horowitz. He's with us here in Studio 3 as usual. Hi, Murray.
Hi, good to see you, Neil.
So who is your favorite film president? Is it the muscular action hero, the romantic leading man, or those more, say, morally challenged? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And Murray, real and fictional presidents on film since A Birth of a Nation, going back a long way.
No, it is good. And morally challenged, that's a phrase I'm still getting my mind around. I'm going to use it a lot now.
Yeah, I think
speaking of which, you know, you do start with maybe in many ways the most important film portrayal of a president might be in one of the most important films of all time, D.W. Griffith's Birth of a Nation in 1915. And it was a very controversial, terrible, baboon-like presentation of Abraham Lincoln, and it was, I was about to say the 16th president. Was he the 16th president?
16th president.
And he was played by, who remembers? He was played by a man named Joseph Hannibery, who had like a dozen roles in Birth of a Nation, but he was made up as Abraham Lincoln. And it was the first testimony of the fact that the way we portray ourselves and our leaders on screen is extremely influential.
Yet we see a lot of, for the first, 75 years of American cinema, you don't see a lot of shots of presidents as presidents. You see young Abe Lincoln. General Jackson. You don't see President. You did see President Jackson. But yeah. Anyway.
Played both cases by Charlton Heston, in fact.
And FDR at Sunrise at Campobello, right, where he's struggling with polio, not so much when he's,
There's a film that I know is a favorite of yours because it's a favorite of mine, where you see FDR from the back. And that's in a very, very wonderful musical, a biography of George M. Cohan called Yankee Doodle Dandy, where he's played by a guy named, I've got it here, Jack Young is cast as the back of FDR.
I'm sorry I missed the opening of your show.
Maybe just as well.
Don't worry about it. We understand each other perfectly.
I think so.
The Herald Tribune says that you make a better president, and I'd rather be right than I am.
Don't forget, that's a Republican newspaper.
And my father thanks you, my mother thanks you. Anyway.
It's true. But you're right, and it tends to be, Neil, there are a lot of films about real presidents, or a fair number of films about real presidents, Lincoln and Wilson and this one and then Nixon. But when it comes to fictitious presidents, it tends not to be a great role. I mean, it's a great role for an actor to do, but it tends to be two-dimensional. I mean, the jokes write themselves. Guess what? Why could it be that presidents are portrayed as being wooden and staid? Well, you can answer that yourself. It's true. It tends to be a plot device. Let's take a big disaster movie or a big alien movie or something, bring in the leader of the free world and it becomes
look
an effective
at this
plot.
Way. I'm not voting for Jack Nicholson, but I would vote for Morgan Freeman.
You'd vote for Morgan Freeman. I might vote for Jack Nicholson. He's one of my favorite movie presidents.
Let's get Jill on the line, and Jill is calling us from Tallahassee in Florida.
I like Kevin Kline in Dave.
Right, you're not alone. Now, it's important to remember that in Dave, he's not really the president, right? He's playing a person
at the beginning before he falls over with a
right, exactly.
Aneurysm or whatever.
And then he's Dave, a person playing the president. Right.
And yet he does an exceptional job.
Right.
And my favorite part is when he brings in his own accountant, Charles Grodin.
Yes.
And they so efficiently and without any fanfare balance the budget.
That's why they call it fiction.
Well, I still like it, and I think if they could do it, we should be able to do it as nonfiction.
I hope you're right, Jill. Thanks very much for the call.
Thanks, Jill.
And let's get Troy on the line. Troy Witherspoon from Louisville in Tennessee.
How are you doing?
Very well, thanks.
My favorite president in a movie is Michael Douglas in the movie entitled American President.
And it's weird. We got that call about Dave. This is almost the same cast, except for the President of the United States.
Right, right. And I think where we're going with this, if you look at the last few decades, you have these political figures who render themselves as everyday people. Bush did that in the last two elections, obviously why he won. Then you've got Barack Obama, who has his lowly beginnings and how he rose to the top. And then, of course, you've got...
Born in a log cabin he built himself.
Right, right.
You know. Right, right, right. So the American people seem to be fascinated with a leader who is kind of resembles us in a way, and then who can surround themselves with more intelligent advisors. Like Martin Sheen.
Right, exactly. Well, here in the American President, it's Michael Douglas as Andrew Shepherd. And, well, the advice he's looking for is that from, his first date, Annette Bening.
Do you go out on that? Do you often...
Do I date a lot?
Yeah.
No, how about you?
Me? Well, lately I seem to be going out on a lot of first dates.
Well, then you're experienced at this.
Oh, yeah, you can ask me anything.
Well, how are we doing so far?
It's hard to say at this point. So far, it's just your typical first date stuff.
Damn, and I want to be different from the other guys.
You mentioned Martin Sheen, and there's a ground rule here. Don't forget, whenever we have these discussions in our Talk of the Nation Film Festival, the attenuated film festival, we don't count TV. And in this case, this is a real handicap because we're missing Martin Sheen. We're missing Paul Giamatti as John Adams. We're missing Gina Davis. And some of the real great actors and big stars who've done it on television, like Jason Robards, Gregory Peck, Walter Huston. There are a lot of TV presidents.
Troy, thanks very much for the call.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Here was, by the way, another one for American President Michael Douglas. Mike in Charlotte, North Carolina, said his speech to the press corps at the end of the movie is one of the most eloquent summations of liberal policies. I am a proud liberal that I have ever met. And let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And let's go to Rob. Rob with us from Key West in Florida.
Hi, Neil. How's it going today?
Very well, thank you.
One I saw a couple of years ago was Man of the Year with Robin Williams. It really stuck to me because I talked to a lot of friends. I'm a registered independent myself. And whenever we hear any politician talking, we just want them to cut through the bull and just talk like a real human being. And in that movie, even with the outlandish breaking out into debates and breaking all the rules of conduct and everything, just really seemed to cut through all the mess and everything and just not say what the voters wanted to hear, but really able to voice an opinion. I thought having that take and Obama being compared to a celebrity earlier on in this campaign, when in this movie you actually had a celebrity that was in running for the presidency, it just seemed like, portrayed anyway, the American voters really were able to identify with a celebrity who wasn't scared about the political, you know, whiplash or anything of speaking his mind and stuff like that, and was just incredibly impressed by the way the direction that movie was taken from a director's standpoint.
Rob, thanks very much. This is a movie, one of those where it's really a lot of comedy until he actually gets into the office.
Right, and he gets in. And this is President Tom Dobbs, and he's one of a number of, like, sort of down with it, you know, people we would like to see as president of the United States. My favorite is in The Contender with Joan Allen. There's Jeff Bridges, who plays President Jackson Evans. And he's like this guy, say, hey, you want a tuna sandwich? Really, anything you want. You know, you can get it. It's great to be president. And it's like all of us would like to feel if we were president. I will say that with those names, you know, like, you know, President Jackson Evans or Tom Dobbs, we really haven't been very imaginative when it comes to presidents.
There
haven't
diversity, been a lot, not a big
diversity
issue.
Diversity's not a giant. Only one female African-American portrayal of a president that I could find, and that was the wonderful Lynn Thigpen, whom a lot of our listeners will remember for her being the key person in a TV series called Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. And she was in a movie in 1999 called Bicentennial Man, and she was President Marjorie Botha.
Let's get Mimi on the line. Mimi with us from Kansas City in Missouri.
Hi, yes. My favorite is Harrison Ford in Air Force One.
We played a clip of him earlier. Get off my plane.
Right.
Yeah. He's just so strong, and he's like, you just know he's going to take care of things, and he's selfless. And so I loved him. I just thought he's great.
Well, while he's in a headlock aboard Air Force One, in fact, one of the very few female presidents is sworn in. This is Glenn Close, who is sworn in as acting president while things are ensuing aboard Air Force
they
One.
They do ensue.
I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to take the oath of office. I'm going to run this government And if some Islamic nations can't tolerate a female president, then I promise you, it will be more their problem than mine.
I thought she was going to say, I'm going to go out there a chorus girl, but I'm going to come back a star.
Go out a secretary. Yeah, it's, and you know what? There are a lot of people who agree with you, Mimi. In fact, there was an online poll. People were asked to vote this year for if there any of these characters were running for president, whom would they elect? And Harrison Ford as President James Marshall in Air Force One came in first place.
Again, I'm going for Morgan Freeman.
Well, you know, we talk about lack of diversity, but one of the first movie presidents who really impressed me was James Earl Jones, who played the first African-American president in Rod Serling's last screenplay, and it's called The Man. It's from 1972.
And we have a clip of that here. Let's see if I can find my piece of paper here. This is James Earl Jones. Here the president's daughter is furious with her newly appointed presidential father as he sets to turn over a black revolutionary to the apartheid government of South Africa.
Where on earth did I ever get the idea that you were honorable? You really must have conned me with your soft voice and your metaphors. Not honorable, scared. A privileged black man paying off and not having to live in the ghetto.
The house, nigga, right?
Right on. How the hell do you get out of the first family anyway? Do you just resign or what?
You just pick an exit and walk, if that's what you want.
We're talking about American Presidents on Film with Murray Horowitz of the AFI Silver Theater in Silver Spring, Maryland, here in the Washington, D.C. area. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get, is this Linus?
Yes.
Go ahead, Linus, from Marfa, Texas.
Well, I just like Frederick March in 7 Days in May because he was principled and real and had emotions and a range of emotions and stood for such progressive ideas.
Frederick March played the President of the United States, and here he is having it out with General James Mattoon Scott, played by Burt Lancaster.
You accuse me of having lost their faith, deliberately and criminally shut my ears to the national voice.
I do.
Well, where the hell have you heard that voice, General? In freight elevators? In dark alleys? In secret places in the dead of night? How did that voice seep into a locked room full of conspirators? That's not where you hear the voice of the people, General, not in this republic. You want to defend the United States of America, then defend it with the tools it supplies you with, its Constitution.
That's great stuff.
It is great stuff. It's one of Frederick March's last great roles, and it's not quite so famous as when he played the most famous non-president, William Jennings Bryan, actually is Matthew Harrison Brady in Inherit the Wind.
Wind. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Thanks very much for the call, Linus.
You're welcome.
And there's another category. This is hands down emails Gregory. Gregory James, I'm sure. Gregory J. Murphy, anyway, that's his whole name. He says, hands down, Peter Sellers as President Mervyn Merkin in Dr. Strangelove in his most notable scene. The president scolded General Buck Turgeson, George C. Scott, and the Russian ambassador for fighting in the war room. We're not going to have any fighting in the war room. Of course, he also gets on the hotline to talk with his Russian counterpart.
Of course I like to speak to you. Of course I like to say hello. Not now, but any time, Dmitri. I'm just calling up to tell you something terrible has happened. It's a friendly call. Of course it's a friendly call. Listen, if it wasn't friendly, you probably wouldn't have even got it.
It really is. I'm very grateful to Gregory because this is, you can't talk about presidents on film without talking about Merkin Muffley in and Peter Sellers' role, one of his, what, three or four roles
yeah.
In Stanley Kubrick's Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. It really is one of the greatest, one of the underrated performances that I kind of couple with it is somebody we don't think of as a movie star, but Bob Newhart played President Manfred Link in First Family, a 1980 film in which he was similarly believably hapless. It was just, there's a truth about the presidency and the president that those guys tapped into.
And we've talked about this before, but Dr. Strangelove is virtually the same picture. One's a comedy, a satire. The other one, dead serious, as Failsafe, where Henry Fonda
right.
is the president of the United States on the phone with his Russian counterpart.
All I know is that men are responsible. We're responsible for what happens to us. Today we had a taste of the future. Do we learn from it or do we go on the way we have? What do we do, Mr. Chairman? What do we say to the dead?
Of course, it's hard to have a comedy after you've blown up Moscow and New York.
But both of those pictures you're absolutely right. They're kind of, I don't know about mirror images, but they're two sides of the same coin. And they were both made in 1964.
Both made in the same, it's insane. Let's see if we can play one more clip here. And this is Lee Tracy, who was nominated for an Oscar for his portrayal as the president in The Best Man.
I am here to tell you this. That power is not a toy that we give to good children. It's a weapon. And the strong man takes it and he uses it. And if you don't go down there and beat Joe Cantwell to the floor with this very dirty stick, then you've got no business in this big league. Because if you don't fight, this job is not for you.
Well, Murray, this job is for you. Who's the best American president on film?
Oh, well, I mean, there are a lot of people that I'm, as you can imagine, there are a lot of the comedy presidents that I like. But, you know, in this case, Neil, why mess around when you can have the real thing? I have to say, in the 1951 movie, Ronald Reagan in Bedtime for Bonzo.
Oh, come on.
I couldn't resist.
You know, I'm tempted to go for Dan Hedaya in Dick.
Dan Hedaya was a great Nixon.
I thought he was better than Anthony Hopkins.
He might have been better than Richard Nixon.
Could have been.
No, but I would have to say that I got to go for Peter Sellers. I really think that is one of the great characterizations of a major public official ever put on film.
Murray Horowitz, as always, thanks for spending Election Eve with us. Murray Horowitz.
Don't forget to vote early and vote often.
Director and COO of the American Film Institute Silver Theater and Cultural Center here in the Washington, D.C. area. Tomorrow it's Election Day. We'll talk about what's happening where you are, and we'll hope you join us then. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.